Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, along with Shad Marquitz. We are taking you through this weekend's edition where we will be focusing big picture on some of the moves post-Fed announcement, as well as just recapping some of the key factors driving mostly the precious metals, but also the markets. And I think we will be diving a little bit more into some of that inflation data as we do wrap up the tail end of this show with Peter Buchvar. That being said, we are kicking off the show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Now, I do need to note that we are recording this on Wednesday, just before the Fed is announcing what we are going to play here as the taper. They have more or less told the market that this is going to be happening, so I did want to add that little addendum that, again, we are chatting before the announcement, but Adrian, let's take this along the path that the Fed is going to taper, and we don't know what the market reaction is going to be right after the taper. We can assume that it's going to be volatility, but the fact of the matter is I think it's going to be more focused, or we should be more focused on what the trend is, even heading into this taper, because the fact of the matter is I think the market is very much pricing it in. Adrian, in your eyes, when it comes to the precious metals, what is going to be most critical to watch, not just for the actual metals, but also for the stocks as well, please?
Yeah, first of all, may I say thank you for having me once again. I appreciate being on the show. And if it's appropriate for me to say, I didn't listen to all of your guests. I'm sorry, I was making some notes. But I heard you mention Peter Buchvar on later.
He is. He's following you.
Yeah, anyone that checked in to listen to me, I urge you to stick around to listen to Peter Buchvar. He is, I think, the best analyst on the economy, but he's a super, super talker, and he really knows his stuff. With regard to gold, yeah, I mean, clearly the market, all markets, the gold market and the other markets, are expecting tapering, and they're expecting $15 billion a month. It's been pretty well telegraphed. The Fed has also made it clear, or Jerome Powell has anyway, that they're not going to start raising interest rates until they finish with the taper. So there's just a couple of things I really want to emphasize on this. And that is that in past incidents of tightening, whether it's tapering or raising interest rates, the Fed's bark has normally been a lot worse than its bite. And we've seen three times now in the past 20 years, in 2005 when Alan Greenspan had, I think it was 17 interest rates in a hike. They were all tiny. And then, of course, in 2013 with the tapering, and then in 2015 with the interest rate hike, we saw in all three of those cases, we saw gold. In particular, we saw gold decline for months while these various tightening measures were being discussed by various Fed spokesmen. But as soon as the Fed actually started, certainly in the last two cases, almost to the week that the Fed started, gold bottomed and reversed. And the reason for that is quite clear, that the market realizes in each of the previous two cases, and I think it will realize in this case, that the Fed is lagging inflation. The Fed's actions are, as they say, too little, too late. So if we get $15 billion a month of tapering, I want to emphasize, everybody knows this, but I want to really emphasize, tapering is only reducing the rate of increase. Tapering is not reducing anything. It's reducing the rate of increase only. And so the Fed balance sheet is going to be higher a year from now when they finish their tapering than it is today. And it's really important to emphasize that. And as the market realizes, well, wait a minute, all they're doing is reducing the rates at which they're buying, and they're putting off interest rate hikes until they finish this process. You know, what is inflation going to be when they actually start raising interest rates? So the bottom line, I think, is that the Fed is normally, other than with Paul Volcker, is normally very reluctant to tighten. This Fed is particularly reluctant to tighten for various reasons, not least of which is Jerome Powell still hoping that he can be reappointed. But in addition, and I got this point from Peter Buchbar, I think, a very important point, which is this Fed, Jerome Powell said, we are going to be data-driven. That sounds very rational and reasonable. We're going to look at the data. We're going to make our decisions based on what the data is. But when you think about that a little more deeply, that means the Fed is going to react to the past. And so it's always going to be looking backwards. And therefore, it's, in my opinion, it's going to be lagging inflation all the way up. So when you say, what is it going to do for gold? I think maybe not today when they announce it, maybe not even next month, if next month it is, when they start. But within, before Christmas, I think we will see gold have bottomed and be moving up in a meaningful way. And they did that in 2013, of course, and as I say, did that in 2015.
Yeah, Adrian, you've set the table nicely there, and as you mentioned, the Fed is historically behind the curve. That's where the saying even comes from, just because they tend to be reactionary. And you make a good point about it's really just a decreasing the rate of the increase. They're basically dialing back how much they purchase each month. So my question is, when the market has pretty much priced this in at this point, a tapering starting. But I don't think we've seen what will happen 3, 4, 5 months into this tapering when we find out who's actually going to buy all these bonds that the Fed was buying. Who are the purchaser for these bonds going to be? And if there's any wobbles there in the bond market or the interest rate markets, that could roil things a little bit. And then the second part of that would be, you know, the Fed hiking cycle coming up. As you point out, inflation is on CPI numbers right now is around 5%. But even if it drops down, as some expect next year, to 4% or maybe even 3.5% inflation, we're still in a negative real rate environment, which tends to be good for gold. So how do you see those forces coming together? The reaction to what actually happens when there's nobody there to buy these bonds possibly, and the moment of truth where they finally get closer to the end of tapering and realize, how are we really going to raise these rates much to get even close to inflation?
Let's not forget that the Fed also acquired a lot of corporate bonds, junk bond feds, junk bond funds and so on through special purpose vehicles that were kept off balance sheet. Now, I don't think that's what they're talking about when they're talking about tapering, but they're off balance sheet, but there's absolutely no reason why the Fed is still holding, if they are still holding, bonds of Berkshire Hathaway and Daimler-Benz and Apple and so on. They could sell those without affecting interest rates at all. When you come to the treasuries and the mortgage-backed securities, which is the $20 billion a month, $120 billion a month. I mean, you throw these billions away, and pretty soon I get pretty lost with just how much we're talking about. We're talking about treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. Well, first of all, there's a lot of the analysis I see is saying they'll cut $15 billion from the treasuries, $5 billion from mortgage-backed securities. Now, when you come to the treasuries, if the Fed stops buying or reduces their buying of treasuries, somebody else has to step in and or the yields have to go up. And I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing yields moving up here and in Europe, you know, in the last couple of months.
All right, Adrian, we're going to have to wrap up this segment here, but we're having you back on next segment. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Adrian Day.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Adrian Day. Now, Adrian, we talked a lot about the individual data, especially in terms of inflation and other economic data that people use to judge maybe the economic health and also use that for investment purposes. But I would argue that it's more about the change and trends in data rather than these individual points. But as Chad pointed out last segment, we're in a negative real rate environment. We've been in a negative real rate environment for a while. However, the argument being that rates are getting maybe a little less negative, and it all depends what data you look at, but if inflation does come down, even a little bit, and rates do rise just a little bit, we can still be in a negative rate environment, but the direction is heading maybe in the direction that goes against precious metals. How do you balance that out, seeing currently the environment that we're in, but understanding that at least short-term direction that things are moving?
No, you're absolutely correct. The change in direction is typically a critical factor, and you're absolutely right about the changing direction we're seeing here. Because I'm not expecting inflation to sort of, you know, go to double digits or even high single digits anytime soon. So you're absolutely right. I think if you look at the context of the last, of this year, let's say, for the longest period, people were looking at inflation as not being an issue, even though since last August, the numbers were slowly, the CPI and PPI numbers were slowly inching up, trending up slowly. But the market was still generally looking at inflation as not being an issue because the Fed constantly said, we want to get to 2%. We want higher inflation. We want higher inflation. And let me just do a tangent, if I may, to make an important point. Inflation is not consumer prices going up. Consumer prices going up is a reflection, a symptom of inflation. But inflation is the creation of excess liquidity. So having got that out of the way, just so that people don't say to me, oh, even Adrian Day is talking about consumer prices going up being inflation. I'm just using a shorthand here. So when we got the April numbers in May, consumer price index numbers in May, which was really when people started talking about inflation, right? For 3-4 months, all we heard from everyone is this is a base effect. This is a supply chain issue. It's all transitory. Nothing to see here, folks. Inflation's not an issue. And the market, I think, for 4 or 5 months generally believed that narrative. It's, you know, obviously there were exceptions, but generally the market, including the gold market, believed that narrative. And so even though you had inflation moving up, initially rates staying where they are, rates slowly moving up, the market was still thinking it was transitory. And it's only been recently, I think, that the market has begun to realize that this transitory is going to be a little more persistent than originally entailed. So I think you're right about the rate of change in direction. Of course you are. But I think there's a lot of room here for rates to move up and for inflation to moderate, and I'm not sure how much it's going to moderate, frankly. I think it might moderate in the near term, sort of 3-4 months, but then I think by spring, summer next year, we're going to see moving up again. So that's my own outlook. But I think there's a lot of room for that moderation that change of direction that you're talking about. Because the market has only just started focusing on the fact that, rates are negative in real terms here. And that's a positive for gold. So, I think gold is going to, I think the market, once they start tapering, the market will focus on the reality rather than the threats or the, constant warnings from the Fed. And when you focus on the reality, you see, well, wait a minute, tapering means they're still adding to the balance sheet. They're not going to raise interest rates yet, even though inflation is moving up. And I think the market says, wow, that's positive.
Well, Adrian, we have seen the CPI numbers going up, which is the consumer price index, but we've also seen the commodity sector, just another thing, input costs going up, whether it's oil and energy from nat gas or whether it's the base metals, copper, nickel, zinc is at a 16-year high. We've seen it across the board, and we've seen it in uranium. And I know that you follow some of those sectors closely. What do you make of some of the moves up as a result of inflation, you know, some of these prices in the commodities, and in particular the energy sector recently?
Yeah, okay, let's talk about that. Let's just start by saying you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, when you see raw material prices going up, and when more than the PPI is going up, and when you see the PPI going up more than the consumer prices index is going up, and when you see transportation costs going up, and you also see wage rates beginning to go up, all of those things indicate to me that we're going to see higher consumer prices, you know, over the next 3, 6, 9 months, because all of those input costs are going up. And of course, commodity prices are notoriously volatile. They can change on a dime, but wage rates are not. They're very sticky. When you give an employee a wage rate, you don't go into them next week and say, well, you know, the supply chain is finished and the Fed's tapering, and so we're cutting your wages this week. You don't do that. So wage rates tend to be sticky. And but to get to the commodities, you know, there's one big factor, one big negative factor, or potentially negative risk we have to look at, and that is China's economy slowing. And it's an obvious risk, of course. But I'm not sure it's really priced into the market and the market's expectations at the moment. China, as you know, is about, you know, it varies obviously resource by resource, but it's responsible for about 50% of the purchasing of global commodities across the board. And a significant slowdown in China doesn't have to be a crash. It doesn't, you know, Evergrande doesn't have to be a Lehman Brothers equivalent or anything, but a significant slowdown in China, and particularly a slowdown in the real estate construction business, has the potential for significant reductions in demand for certain things like steel, aluminum, iron ore, and copper.
All right, Adrian, I have to cut you off here because we are out of time for this segment on the radio. However, we're going to continue this conversation. So for everyone listening on the radio, you can listen to the full interview by visiting our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting and listen to segments 1 and 2, more or less unedited, with Adrian Day. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Peter Bookbar.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
America's roads and bridges in line for billions of dollars worth of upgrades. The House late Friday night passes a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. The bill already passing the Senate in August and now awaits the president's signature. Our economy is on the move, President Biden saying that Friday after the release of the jobs report. Over 530,000 jobs added in October. The unemployment rate drops to 4.6%.
The job creation in the first full 9 months of my administration is about 5.6 million new jobs, a record for any new president. That's a monthly average of over 60,000 new jobs each month, 10 times more than the job creation at 3 months before I took office.
Now for the bad news, labor force participation remains at under 62%. Also, we're over 4 million jobs short of where we were pre-pandemic in February 2020. This is USA Radio News. Our fight against COVID could soon be over. That's what former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says after an announcement from Pfizer. The drug maker saying Friday its COVID pill can help cut the risk of hospitalization or death in high-risk adults by almost 90%. Dr. Gottlieb tells CNBC this is great news.
Bottom line is we have an overwhelming toolbox right now to combat COVID, and this is a phenomenal result. This exceeded any reasonable expectation. With all the usual caveats that this was a trial that was stopped early by the Data Monitoring Committee for overwhelming efficacy, I think the bottom line is the end of the pandemic, at least as it relates to the United States, is in sight right now, given all the tools we have to combat this.
Pfizer CEO says he plans to submit data on the drug to the FDA by Thanksgiving. The pill could be available by the end of the year. Gottlieb says we may be able to declare victory over COVID in January. A tragedy in Africa. Over 90 people killed in Sierra Leone in West Africa when an oil tanker explodes Friday. The mayor of the capital city, Freetown, says a fuel truck collided with another truck. The death toll could climb. A source tells CNN several people are in critical condition. This is USA Radio News.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Big news from Simply Safe Home Security. Okay. Actually, I think the horns are too much. Yeah, that's better. Big news. The new wireless outdoor security camera is here. Yes, Simply Safe's award-winning home security just got even better, taking whole home protection to a whole new level. Okay, I'm missing the horns. Simply Safe is celebrating this new camera by offering free shipping for a limited time. Visit SimplySafe.com today.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Adrian Day. And even as Adrian said on the onset of his interview, we are now very excited to be chatting with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, also editor of the Book Report. I will include a link to Peter's site in the weekend show posting on our website. That is kereport.com. Now, Peter, we're going to start off with a quick recap of the Fed statement and Jerome Powell's press conference this week. The Fed went through with the taper announcement, and I think you can make the argument that a lot of it was priced in. We didn't see a whole lot of volatility on the back of that announcement, but you know what? The Fed has been talking about this taper for about 4, maybe 6 months now. So as well as it should be priced in, but we did see some kind of interesting moves at the tail end of the week. Before we get into individual sectors, Peter, take us through your assessment, your takeaway from the Fed statement and now the Fed starting its taper process.
Well, as you said, it was well telegraphed by the Fed. Both in terms of the beginning of when they would start tapering and the process on which it will take place in terms of dollar amounts per month and therefore over an 8-month period. But what I think it reminded people of is how dovish they remain, because the Fed's idea of confronting what is a very tight labor market, as evidenced by the jobs report, where the participation rate still remains well below where it was pre-COVID, and inflation in the U.S. that's running north of 5%, the Fed's idea of handling monetary policy in the face of that is to take their balance sheet from $8.5 trillion to $9 trillion, and after they're finished, rates will still be at zero. That's the Fed's strategy right now to deal with the economic situation, which means that they are still kowtowing to the markets, they're still kowtowing to Janet Yellen in the U.S. Treasury, as the Fed is monetizing a lot of the debt issuance. And it also proves that Powell is just deathly afraid to negatively impact the economy and the demand side of the economy, because that's what federal monetary policy really only influences, is the demand side. He keeps blaming the supply side as the only reason why we're having this inflation story, but he's been pedal to the metal trying to push the demand side since early last year when COVID hit. So he's as guilty as anyone when it comes to the current inflation story. But again, to bottom line this, he's reminding all of us that he's going to be very slow, he's going to be behind the curve, and that's going to be repeated by multiple central banks around the world, particularly the Bank of England, who decided not to raise interest rates, even though the market basically put the golf ball on the tee for the Bank of England to hit it. They still decided not to, and for some reason felt it was appropriate to keep a 0.10% bank rate while UK inflation is running 4% plus. So while on one hand we are on the cusp of a global monetary tightening cycle, it's going to be a very glacial process.
Well, Peter, it's interesting because the messaging that Powell gave was, at the beginning of this year was that inflation would be transitory, that much of it would be base effect, year-over-year issues, or some of it would be these supply chain issues, which everybody can see, like lumber or what happened with used cars because of the computer chips and new cars, et cetera. But there's also a lot of factors that are clearly not transitory. There's obviously the energy markets that are racing higher. Look what's happening with oil. That doesn't seem to be just supply chain issues. It doesn't seem to be just some truckers are not getting it. Look at food costs, which often don't factor into their inflation costs, but a lot of those have nothing to do with base effect or supply. It's pure inflation, and it's paired with wages. And so with the jobs report today and with, a look at rising wages, rising input cost speaks to cost-push inflation. Do you think the general markets are going to have a different outlook on inflation now that it's hung around longer, and will that factor into how the bond markets react to this moving forward?
Well, I think right now the markets are very nonchalant about this whole inflation story, particularly the equity market that is up, I think, 16 out of 18 days. Or even 15 out of 17, something like that. Now, earnings for the quarter have been pretty good, but I think that they're not appreciating that inflation and global monetary tightening in response to that is typically not a PE multiple expander, but that's exactly what we're doing here. And to your point about some of the things you pointed out with inflation not being transitory, a lot of this is deeper seated. A lot of this is many years of underinvestment, particularly in energy, where you can just only imagine that you're a CEO of an energy company and you get beaten up every single day by some ESG investor or an environmentalist, and the last thing you want to do is aggressively invest and grow your business. You're trying to, you're getting pressure to diversify your business into other things like clean energy. So you're going to see continued lack of investment in energy. I've argued that the whole concept and inventory management of just-in-time that's been a main source of deflationary pressures on the good side for decades is dead, and that companies are going to shift to a just-in-case. They're going to have more stuff on the shelves, which means that they're going to tie up more cash in inventory. That means lower inventory turns, higher working capital needs, less cash flow, and likely higher prices. You look at we can talk about the transportation industry, which is a key part of all these supply disruptions. Well, there's been massive consolidation in the container shipping market over the past 5 years, where 60 to 65% of the market are controlled by five companies. You look at the trucking industry. It's a variety of different things. That's not just a COVID thing. You had 2018, 2019, a tariff-induced fight with China that led to a manufacturing recession. You had over 100 trucking companies go out of business, a lot of capacity therefore taken offline. You have this electronic logging device rule where drivers are only allowed to drive so many hours a day. You've had these enhanced drug testing rules where a lot of truck drivers are failing drug tests. So you add this all up and there are tens of thousands of truck driving jobs that aren't going filled. So this is not something that just comes back. And you mentioned, you know, used vehicles. Well, Manheim this week said that on a seasonally adjusted basis, used car prices in October were up 9.2% month over month. They're up 38% year over year. And on a non-seasonally adjusted basis, this is the first time ever in their survey, which dates back to 1997, that you saw an increase in October. Then we're shifting to housing. And we know that home prices are up 20% year over year in the U.S., and that, of course, is captured within rents, within CPI and PCE. Well, Apartment List's national report for November that came out this week showed rents up 16%+ year to date. Well, rents within CPI, they're telling us it's up about 3%. So the rent component is not even close to accurately capturing the reality with rent. Now, I do think it's going to catch up, but that means that for the next couple of quarters, you're going to see some sharp increases in the rent component of the inflation stats, which is another reason why this is not going to be so temporary.
All right. So the big takeaway then being, Peter, is inflation seems like it's here to stay, and some of the components even that it seems like the Fed cannot control, and we can argue what the Fed can and can't control anyway, those, in your eyes, are going to keep on continuing. The world is getting more and more expensive for individuals, and the data is also now starting to reflect that. Just been interesting to see the Fed still be able to talk investors into the fact that inflation is transitory. We'll see what the data leads into next month, because even next week, there are expectations that inflation data is even going to perk up a little bit back to that 6% level. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Peter Bugvar talking a bit more about commodities and the precious metals.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamg'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamg'day.com with longevity. Teamg'day.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group and editor of the Book Report. So, Peter, last segment we talked a lot about inflation. You outlined a number of these factors as to why you think inflation will not be transitory, could even pick up steam next year. The issue being investors don't seem to be following that same mentality, whether it's what the Fed has told them or, quite frankly, the market's just continuing to move higher and people get distracted. When price moves higher, they don't care what the data is. They enjoy making money. They keep their money in those sectors. What do you think it's going to take, or what would we have to see in the markets for investors to start shifting their focus, start taking some more inflation hedges, even protection for their portfolios?
Well, it'll certainly be another few months of surprise increases in the inflation stats. You even take the bond market reaction after this jobs report, and we're seeing another flattening of the yield curve, which is implying that while long rates are going down, that is counterintuitively, because if you think there's higher inflation. But on the other hand, the market is trading on the belief that you get these jobs numbers in the context of this inflation story. Well, the Fed may have to even increase the speed at which they're tapering and gets us closer to eventual rate hikes. Therefore, that's going to slow the economy. Therefore, you should be flattening the curve. So I think that and you can have to fast forward another quarter to see the inflation story continuing with respect to corporate earnings. At least this quarter, some companies have had success in passing it on, and people are comfortable with margins. But if you now start to see an acceleration in wages, and at some point, consumers are not necessarily going to want these to absorb these higher prices, and that's when margins really get squeezed. So I think we're sort of playing a game of chicken here. In terms of the equity market and credit markets with this inflation story, with Fed tightening. I mean, when you, with the benefit of hindsight, when you look back to when QE really started in the U.S. in late 08, early 09, which sort of marked the bottom of that bear market, and you fast forward since, markets did great when rates were zero and QE was going, and markets always ran into trouble when rates were going up and QE was either ending or being tapered. And this time around, it is a global monetary tightening that we are on the cusp of. So at some point, we're going to hit a wall. When that is, I don't know. But now that a lot of this tightening is now upon us, I think just people should just be on guard. Now, I mentioned the Bank of England earlier not hiking this week as it was widely expected, but
they're going to hike in December instead. Why they waited a month, I don't know. But they're still going to hike. And the ECB, their emergency purchase program, which is still ongoing, even though that emergency is far in the rearview mirror, that will continue, but only for a few more months. So the Bank of Canada, as you guys know, obviously ending QE cold turkey, the Reserve Bank of Australia walking away from yield curve control, and the short-term interest rate in Australia, the market-driven interest rate, the two-year, the three-year, spiked like you've never seen, where the two-year went from 4 basis points in August to 85 basis points as of last week. So we're reaching some real inflection points here that I think many in the markets are sort of just whistling by.
Well, Peter, you bring up an interesting point because it is a global tightening cycle and all central banks have to face this. But do you think there's going to be a point where the general markets realize next year in 2022, as they keep tapering, as they take $15 billion a month out of the quantitative easing, which astonishingly was supposed to be an emergency measure from that 2008-2009 great financial crisis that we're still, you know, people are still addicted to that monetary heroin, as they say. And as they pull that away and as they pull that bond purchasing away, do you think there's a point where either A, the Fed's going to get stuck where they can't taper any further and they don't get all the way through the program if there's a market tantrum, or B, when they finally get ready to start hiking and in the U.S. and when the Fed finally says, okay, we're going to try to normalize interest rates, is there a point where the emperor's wearing no clothes and when people realize, wow, they're just never really going to be able to get interest rates up even close to where inflation is? Could that be a moment where the bond market responds or the precious metals market responds?
Well, to your first question, which sort of spills into the second, is yes, the Fed and other central banks will reach a fork in the road, and that fork will be driven by inflation that's remaining sticky and persistent, but the markets start to fall, credit spreads start to widen in response to their tightening. So what do they respond to? Are they going to try to save the market because they're worried about the tightening of financial conditions, or are they going to focus on inflation? We know the market is what the Fed mostly focuses on, but if CPI is still printing 4-5%, when they reach that fork, that's going to be a really difficult situation to be in. But I think they're headed in that direction. But because they are most likely not going to be focusing on inflation, that's when you're going to be getting real rates that are going to continue to fall, and that will be bullish for the precious metals.
So, Peter, let's talk about the precious metals then, because it's been a frustrating year for precious metals bulls looking at the inflation data and seeing low interest rates and, unfortunately, seeing the precious metals prices pretty consistently fall and the stocks fall. So, look, there is a disconnect there between the narrative that precious metals bulls have heard over the last over decades now and with what the data is showing. Why has there been such a big disconnect? And it sounds like you're on board with saying that precious metals should go through a nice price appreciation when, I guess, the market and investors wake up to this fact that inflation's going to be around for a while.
I think that after a great 2020 where silver was up 42%, gold was up north of 20, that this year you had a very sharp increase in interest rates in the first quarter. So that helped to slow down that rally. And then as the year progressed, there was either two things. One, the market actually believed Powell in his view that inflation was transitory. So why should I own gold and silver? Because Powell is always right. And when people realize that he's wrong and that it's taper time, well, if the Fed's tapering and tightening, I don't want to own gold and silver. So it was a mid-June FOMC meeting when Powell finally said, yes, we are now talking about when we are going to taper. And if you look at a chart in gold, gold was trading around $1,900 before that and sold off hard, days after that meeting when he talked about it. And now it is finally beginning to recover what it lost in those days after that mid-June FOMC meeting, because people are realizing that tapering is no way to deal with inflation. They're going to go very slow. And even when it's done, as I said, rates are still going to be at zero. People also have to remember that when Janet Yellen first started raising interest rates for the first time in 7 years in December 2015, that marked the exact bottom within a day of that, you know, multi-year gold bear market.
Yeah, it really seems like, I guess, we're just waiting for the market to wake up to the fact that inflation's sticking around and that the Fed might not have the control to get it under control, but that can last a long time. We've seen this before, right, is that markets can stay almost irrational for longer than the data tells you that they should be able to, but hey, it was an interesting week having Powell go through and the Fed go through with the taper and seeing some of the market moves being mostly, muted because it was mostly priced in. But for the precious metals bulls, encouraging to see gold at least appreciating the last couple days of trading this week. Peter, great having you on the show. I always enjoy our conversations, and I really appreciate you taking some time to share your thoughts on these markets and make sense of all this data that we really get bombarded with week after week. Again, Peter is the editor of the book Report, which I will link to in that weekend show posting. Peter, thank you, as always, for your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Please go back through our website throughout the week and listen to all the daily editorials and all the company updates that we recorded. And please keep in touch, flex@kereport.com and chat@kereport.com. We love hearing from all of you. Peter, everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.